Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, and we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off and rolling, rainy Thursday, September 12, 2024, and it's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at G underscore Kuhn 71. I'm alongside, as always, executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, what's the word, man?
What's up, man?
Yeah, newsy day.
Newsy day.
Fun day.
Fun day. I also love the rain. I'm a big, big rain guy.
We needed it.
Definitely did.
Isn't that like the you know, dad classic?
Listen, man.
Or the mom classic.
As a homeowner.
Every time it rains, we needed it.
My grass needed it. For real. Needed it.
You not water it?
I mean, I water it, but it's hard to keep up.
I get you.
Needed it.
Yeah, 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have plenty to get to. We have the announcement of the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic that will feature the Memphis men's basketball team and the Memphis women's basketball team taking on some of the blue bloods in both sports. North Carolina on the men's side, South Carolina on the women's side. Unbelievable event that is set to take place on October 15th. We'll talk about that off the top. We also have to talk about the Pac-12. They're trying to stay alive.
Surprise!
Little Frankenstein. They birthed quadruplets last night from the Mountain West, and now they need two more teams to stay alive, and they're trying to, you know, be in on the scene. They don't want to die yet. I do love the memes, Connor, of, you know, the Pac-12 being, you know, in the grave, and there's the hand reaching out. That's what it is right now. The Pac-12 is doing everything they can to stay alive. But where would that leave Memphis? I think that's going to be a very interesting discussion. Would Memphis get invited? And if Memphis is invited, as it has been sort of speculated upon, other teams that they'd be looking at, other programs they'd be looking at, should Memphis take that invite? We will answer that question today. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins, 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock, Kyron Samuels from Sports Illustrated and G5 Classified. We'll talk college football, and we'll also talk about this Pac-12 situation that we have on our hands. Trip around the NFL 5:30, blitz at 6:30. That's how the show lays out. Now, we do have the announcement of the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. And Memphis men's basketball will face North Carolina in a charity exhibition game organized by St. Jude, as well as the women taking on South Carolina. Now, South Carolina was 38-0. I want to see the women try to compete in that game. It'll be very, very interesting to watch. But it'll take place on October 15th at FedEx Forum. The men's game will take place on ESPNU. The women's game will be on ESPN+. So they have the ESPN tie-in as well. The men's game starts at 6. Women's game starts at 8:30 or whenever the men's game ultimately ends. Now, first thing you have to say off top, St. Jude, unbelievable, stepping up to do this. It's a great cause, and I think if you've been asking about pre-orders, I believe they're going to come out soon. You can go get your tickets here relatively soon via Ticketmaster and the FedEx Forum site. But it's a great cause. You can hit two for one. It feels like the amount of donations that they will be able to get by having that televised, by having all of the ticket sales go to St. Jude, that is phenomenal. You hit two birds with one stone in this city. The other part of it for the basketball team is great tune-up. It's a great tune-up for the season. You get to be battle-tested before you actually hit the floor for a regular season game, and that means something. That means something. You're getting tested by the best programs in the country, and that'll be phenomenal to watch. And I think the most important thing that this signifies is like FedEx stepping up for NIL for the University of Memphis, St. Jude doing this and trying to help out the University of Memphis and themselves in the same sort of coin. It shows a willingness from the city's businesses and the entities in this city to rally around this program in this city. And that is something that you just can't put a price tag on. That's something that you ultimately can lift up your viability for other conferences. It just shows that there's a willingness and a hunger in this city for the businesses to get involved. And I love that part of it. This is an amazing, amazing thing that we saw announced today. And I hope everybody understands the opportunity that St. Jude is providing for both of these programs and the opportunity St. Jude is providing for all of us here.
Yeah, Memphis, man, we are very lucky to have places like St. Jude and FedEx in our city, because I understand that Memphis isn't a perfect city by any means, but at the end of the day, when things like this happen, we do rally around each other and we do step up when it is needed. And this is going to be a great thing for the University of Memphis, but it's also going to be a great thing for St. Jude, because we know that the cause that they have is one of the most important ones that we have going on in our country right now. You know, I take great pride in that. My wife, Kat, is able to work for All Sac St. Jude, and she is, you know, directly impacting helping children with cancer, and that is just the best cause that you could possibly have. So University of Memphis teaming up with St. Jude to bring, you know, eyeballs to that, because I understand that St. Jude doesn't necessarily need help in fundraising, but just getting that out there and continuing to push that cause and giving people the opportunity to be a part of that is just a 10 out of 10 home run. I'm so excited about this event. Yes, it's great for the basketball side, but for me, the real win of it is getting more eyeballs on St. Jude and getting more help for those kids.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about fundraising and them not needing it, they get plenty of it, don't get it twisted, but they always need more.
They always need more.
Trying to eradicate childhood cancer, and you're talking about a place that takes $2 million to operate per day. That is a lot of money.
I mean, they truly do. I know that we talk about it a lot, and it can kind of go in ear, one out the other at some point, but they really do create miracles over there. It is unreal. It is unreal, the work that they do over there.
No question about it. And just to see their expansion into sports, we already have it with the golf tournament, to see their expansion now into college basketball, it's great. Great for all parties involved. Now, one thing. So I went over there today, and I had an interview with their senior VP of All Sac. And obviously, All Sac and St. Jude, obviously, they're tied together because it's the fundraising arm of St. Jude, but they are ultimately separate. They operate as different entities. But I was with the senior VP of All Sac, Chris Boyson. And he was on with Jason and John earlier, so I would tell you to go back on 929ESPN.com and go see what he had to say. But I interviewed him today for Bluff City Media, and what was amazing about the conversation was how much it obviously means to St. Jude to have all these players, you know, give lessons and talk to the patients there. But he also talked about what they want to make of this particular, you know, tip-off classic, what they want to do with it going into the future. You look at it and you say, okay, it's an exhibition. Is it going to be a one-off? You start asking yourself those questions. After having a conversation with Chris Boyson, again, the senior VP at All Sac, he made it very clear to me, they want this to be an every year in-season tournament deal. The reason that it was not is because they were kind of behind the eight ball this year, because it got hatched a little bit too late. You have schedules going out into the next few years, and it's really hard to go schedule and make up an in-season tournament in about a year and a half's time. Now, being able to hatch this idea now, get it on ESPN, get the TV partnership, it does show that there is upward trajectory for this event in Memphis every single year, but for it to mean something for records, wins, and losses. And I can't tell you how much it would mean to this city to be able to have another event in town where you're bringing in, you know, outsiders who can, you know, help boost the local economy, obviously still helping St. Jude along the way. And then having the University of Memphis potentially being a home site for an in-season tournament, that means a lot to the program, that means a lot to the city, that means a lot to St. Jude. If they are able to go make this happen, which is their plan, to make it an in-season tournament, that would be an unbelievable goal to reach.
Absolutely. If you could turn this into an annual big deal before the college basketball season really gets rolling, that'd be an absolute home run. Even if it, you know, remains to be what it is right
just
now, I still
it's
think
still
that
great.
That is a home run, because the quality of teams that they're going to have in this thing, I mean,
I
University
understand.
Of Memphis, North Carolina, but South Carolina,
I'm telling you this right now, though.
That is, what a get.
I'm telling you this right now, though. That's not their thought.
Yeah.
They I don't think they are okay with this just being an exhibition tip off.
It's a hell of a start
for
though.
The University of Memphis. It's a heck of a start.
Hell of a start.
And I will say, like, the upward trajectory is there. If you're already getting ESPNU and ESPN in general to cover it,
right,
and it's an exhibition game, you know that the upward trajectory and the relationships are already built with the TV network.
And soon, Gabe, it'll be a Pac-12 event.
Oh, I don't know about that. We're gonna have to wait on that one, Connor. I have no earthly idea how that's going to work out, but this was awesome to see today. And this is something I did kind of hint at it, and I know sometimes people can get annoyed with, you know, me hinting at something and being, you know.
It's part of the job.
Yeah.
We know things.
I couldn't release it at that moment, but I said, be on the lookout for a big exhibition game that will be announced soon. It finally got announced today.
To your point, though, it's I know that a lot of times we get asked this question a lot. Like, you and me specifically get asked this question a lot because sports in Memphis is just different. The media market is different. For the size that Memphis is, everything just seems to get better numbers than people are expecting here, and it's awesome. But part of the reason, in my opinion, is sports is a part of the DNA of the city. But it's part of the DNA of the city because it's tied into everything. It's tied into FedEx. It's tied into the economy. It's tied into St. Jude. Everything lifts everything up here, and just having an event like this at the FedEx Forum, if you can do it annually, you get eyeballs not only on the city, but you get eyeballs on St. Jude, you get eyeballs on the University of Memphis. It's just great for everything all around, and it truly does help impact the economy of this city. But the biggest point that you made that makes me excited is you're going to give people opportunity to donate to St. Jude and AllSAC for the first time maybe in their lives. When you bring in these fans from Carolina, like North Carolina, South Carolina, maybe they've probably heard of St. Jude, and maybe they've donated from afar every once in a while, but they are going to have a chance to be in the city and to see the real impact of what their donations can do. And that, to me, is what is so exciting about this. Not only is this going to help the University of Memphis, but I think what this is going to do for St. Jude and AllSAC is going to be through the roof. I really do hope that they can continue to expand this thing, bring more teams in, because it's for such a great cause. And the city of Memphis, at the end of the day, does benefit overall. It's just, it is one of those things that came out, and you're just immediately like, oh, there's nothing bad about this.
No.
This is great. It's going to help the economy. It'll help St. Jude. It'll help the University of Memphis. Thumbs up, 10 out of 10. I'm so excited about this event.
In my conversation with Chris over there at AllSAC, too, it was kind of funny. And I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this to the air. But off the air, we were sort of talking about, you know, the concerns and how he thinks the event's going to go. And he had this quote to say to me, basically. He said, I hope people buy tickets. I said, you're not going to have an issue with that. Get the pre-orders out on Ticketmaster. Get them up on the FedEx Forum website, and I guarantee it'll be a sellout or at least close to that.
And it sounds
people are going to be very excited to go see these games.
And according to Action News 5, tickets will go on sale to the general public at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'd imagine there'll be a line. There'll be a nice little line for people to go buy up all of those tickets.
And I like that you can support your favorite team with your donation, so you can tie your donation directly to which team you're supporting in the games, which
now,
I think is pretty cool.
I was told there's an NIL component to this thing. There has been conflicting reports on it, so I don't want to get anything wrong, but I'll go with the rumors because we can get into the rumor mill. We do sports talk radio. It's how this thing works. I heard that, like, North Carolina, the reported NIL boost they could get from this is about $150,000. Now, I was not able to get into any of that with, Chris Boyson over at AllSAC, but at the same time, that's really cool as well. South Carolina women, North Carolina men being able to come here preseason and, you know, line the pockets of the players that they so desperately need to keep on their roster. I think that's pretty cool. And I would wonder if I would imagine Memphis probably has a little bit in the NIL department that would be thrown their way.
I would hope
as
so.
Well, I think the NIL component of this is really cool. Now, I know that's going to be a tune-up against North Carolina, but Memphis will have a chance to play them as well in the regular season. So maybe they'll get a look at them. And then by the time we get to the Maui Invitational, if they find that matchup, they'll be ready to go. Elliot Cadeau and R.J. Davis and all those guys over at North Carolina. We'll see how that looks. So it's a tune-up, but there's a chance to go play them on the back end. But again, I if you are out there and you're being a stick in the mud about this, you're completely wrong. This is great for every part of our city is helped by this. The economy, St. Jude, the basketball program, our sports scene, getting it out there, out front. Phenomenal, phenomenal work by
Shout
all of the
everybody.
People at St. Jude, AllSAC, and the University of Memphis. Well done. A job very well done. Now, you did mention it could be
a Pac-12 matchup. They could be a Pac-12 team by the time it becomes an in-season tournament. Because the reason you brought that up, Ross Dellinger from Yahoo reported last night, he was the first one to it, the Pac-12 is mobilizing a long-discussed plan to rebuild the league with additions from the Mountain West. On top of Oregon State and Washington State, they have been able to secure Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State. A lot of states. So all of those those schools applied for membership. The only one I've seen go through, I think all of them are going to go through, but Boise State I think is official. They voted on it, and it's all the way figured out. I think this is impressive timing and strategic timing, first of all, Connor, because do you know what this weekend is in college football? It's a little bit of a rivalry week. Oregon State's going to be playing Oregon. Washington State's going to be playing Washington. And they get to put this out on the forefront on their main nationally televised game of the year. This was very strategic timing by the Pac-12 to play it this way. Now, the Pac-12 would still need two more members in 2026 to qualify as an FBS conference. The Mountain West Conference would receive, in total, $111 million in exit fees from the four schools, and the Pac-12 is going to help foot that bill to a certain extent. But that would be part of the league's scheduling agreement. So my first thought, this seems to be a lot of work to come in fifth place and be on the outside looking in on the autonomous conferences, the Power Four. But what's notable about this? One, this only has the ability to be a group of six conference, group of five, group of six. That's what it would ultimately be. They will not have autonomy. But two, the Pac-12 isn't trying to absorb the entire Mountain West Conference. They're willing to pay money out of their pocket for the best brands. Because if you were paying attention to some of the reports that came out, and if you just know how these things work, it would cost exactly $0.00. It would be free for them to absorb the entire conference. They don't want to do that. Why does that matter? It highlights, yes, there's a bad relationship between the Mountain West Conference and the Pac-12. The scheduling agreement, all these things have gone haywire in the past few months. But there's an effort to only bring in the best brands to drive up TV value. So being that they need two more schools to be a legit conference, and they probably would add more than that, where do they look next, Connor? Where do they look next? I think they are absolutely open for business. Absolutely open for business. I'll tell you about which schools could potentially be targeted. One of them, yes, would be the University of Memphis. But I want to answer the question, if they get the invite, would they take it? We'll talk about that on the other side, 92.9 FM ESPN. So the Pac-12 has risen from the ashes like a phoenix, and they have four new schools that they are adding to their conference. On top of Oregon State and Washington State, they have Boise, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State ready to join. I think those are the correct moves to go take from the Mountain West. Now, there's a lot of things that I have to fight against before we even have this conversation, because I think there are some misnomers about what this means and what the Pac-12 name is now. In the past, we had the Power Five, and that was always the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Pac-12. The Pac-12, after losing all of their members to the ACC, to the Big Ten, and to the Big 12, they are no longer autonomous. They are no longer, this new entity that we will call the Pac-12 will be group of six. We're at group of five now. They would be group of six. So they have no autonomy when it comes to getting automatic spots in the college football playoff. I want to get that out front first before we have this conversation. Because, Connor, I feel like there are some people that are confused about that. Now, I guess there's always the question of how do you ultimately go from that group of five, group of six designation into a power conference? You have to have the money. You have to have the TV revenue. And you have to be successful. The amount of schools they're bringing in, I don't think that will change anything. I don't think that will ever put them over the top of anybody like the Big 12, the ACC, certainly not the Big 10 and the SEC. It won't put them in that conversation. But what their opportunity is here is to be the best of the rest, to be the cream of the crop of the group of five or group of six. They have six schools. They need to add two to get to the eight that is needed to be designated as an actual conference. And they're open for business. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports said that they need to look for more schools, and where they may look is the AAC schools of value. That puts UTSA in the conversation. That puts Tulane in the conversation. And, of course, you guessed it, that puts Memphis in the conversation. So let's talk about it. If given the opportunity, with what we know about this new Pac-12 entity, should Memphis leave or wait for another better opportunity if they are given this opportunity? One, I'd say, well, tell me how much is on the table. How much money is on the table from a TV revenue standpoint? But I'm going to sort of break this down for you from Memphis's standpoint. If you wait and you do not join, if given the opportunity to join this new Pac-12, you're basically sitting at the poker table hoping you get the right hand, right? You're asking yourself the questions, what opens up? And then when that opportunity may open up, if it's the ACC or the Big 12, what is that conference's future standing in college football looking like? Will it be autonomous? You have to ask yourself those questions. Will they lose other members? That's something you're going to have to deal with if you ultimately get the invite. What members have been lost? What members could you lose in the coming years? And are you making concessions to join? Remember what SMU did? They took 4 or 5 years of no TV revenue payout. They paid to get in the ACC. Now, on the other side, if you leave and you go join this entity, if you are invited, you would have an immediate payoff in all likelihood, probably more than what you're getting from the American Athletic Conference right now from a TV revenue standpoint. You would have better scheduling. I truly believe that. You'd have better scheduling, and you would have more opportunities for big wins on your schedule. You would have a longstanding brand affiliation. I know that brand is completely, you know, dissipated in the past, but the Pac-12 name and the leaders of the Pac-12, that thing has been in business for 108, going on 109 years. So that is a brand affiliation that I think is worthy of your attention. And then I think also you have a larger geographic footprint. You start playing out on the West Coast. You start playing out there where you don't recruit a lot of players and you win ball games. You could recruit a lot more nationally and go out west, and you can show those players out there that it is nice, it is fine to come out to the state of Tennessee, to the University of Memphis. The problem lies if you leave now and something else opens up in the future, say in the Big 12 or the ACC, it makes it way harder to take advantage of that type of opportunity in the future. You would be locked into the media rights that is going to be agreed upon with the Pac-12. Now, when it comes to my take, I think if you're looking at the surface level or you're looking at it in a vacuum, if you're saying Memphis would be the seventh team added to this conference, it looks like a lateral long distance, and I'm talking about travel move. It looks like a lateral move where you'd have to pay more as far as travel is concerned. Now, if Memphis were to leave, these are what the AAC bylaws state. Now, you could get it tied up in litigation and probably beat some of these things. But AAC bylaws require a 27-month notice for you to leave the conference. They also require a $10 million buyout until the contract runs out with ESPN, which is in 2030 or 2031. Schools right now in the American Athletic Conference make somewhere between $3 to $5 million, depending on who you are. But if you stay in with the AAC and let this contract run out, you put yourself in a bad position. So this, to me, is where you would need to go talk to the Pac-12 about their plan. And what you would say to the Pac-12 is, what do you want to do with this group of six conference? You don't have autonomy, but you do want to be the best of the rest. Do you want to get the group of five Avengers together? What other schools are you going to bring along? Because if you're bringing along the likes of New Mexico and all these other schools that don't mean much in the grand scheme of college football, I'm not sure if that entices me the same way as if you said, I'm going to go get Tulane, or I'm going to go get UTSA, I'm going to go get App State, I'm going to go get all of these powers that have done a good job in football. But then also on top of talking to the Pac-12 about their plans, I think you need to talk to those peers. You need to talk to Tulane. You need to talk to UTSA. If you were to get this opportunity, would you leave? Would you take that jump? If you get to a bunch of people on board with you saying that they would take that jump, by God, I'd probably take that jump. But I think you need to weigh it out. You need to ask Tulane, UTSA, USF their thoughts. And does this help raise the viability for your program in the future of college football and where we're headed? Ultimately, I think the plan that the Pac-12 is hatching could be very worth it if Memphis ultimately gets the invite. Again, scheduling's better, more premier matchups, and most importantly, and I think this is the hill that I'm willing to die on. This is the hill that ultimately gets me to the point where I'm saying if you get the invite, go. You get out of a slowly dying American Athletic Conference. I love Mike Oresko and the effort he made to do the Power Six moniker. I love the effort he made that ultimately helped out this football product in the American Athletic Conference. He really tried to push out the powers that they had. But when he lost Houston and he lost UCF and he lost Cincinnati, he just made bad decisions. His decision to continue more geographically, keep that geographic footprint in a relative, normal state when everybody else doesn't care anymore. The schools he decided to add, the Rices, the North Texas, and then his big plan on the way out was Army. It has just left me with the opinion that you should get out of the American Athletic Conference by any means necessary. Now, ultimately, the Pac-12 is going to have to invite you if you even want to, make this jump. But I think that could happen. I don't think the Pac-12, after completely dissolving because they wanted to, rest on their laurels and, stay out west and have all these the academic prestige. I don't think they're in the business at this point of trying to uphold the sanctity of the old Pac-12. They're trying to survive by any means necessary, and surviving by any means necessary means you get the best possible brands and the best possible programs, and you bring them to one place. So I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if Tulane, UTSA, USF, maybe an App State, all the way even on the East Coast, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a lot of interest here in the coming weeks.
I'm totally with you. I understand that there are some hesitations from some people, and you would need some assurances, most notably what other schools would be going with you. But in my opinion, if you're the University of Memphis and you get an invite to this new Pac-12, you got to go.
Yeah.
It's because I understand that some people are saying it's a lateral move. I don't know if I fully agree with that because it's a better it's a better conference.
I think it would be a better product with better teams, and you would get more TV revenue.
Yes.
And that's ultimately what you want as a university. You may make some concessions at the beginning. You may have to pay part of that $10 million buyout, even though the Pac-12 is helping pay some of the Mountain West buyouts right now because they have a war chest worth of money from all of the different schools that left for other conferences. They had to pay buyouts. So the Pac-12 could help you in that regard and pay part of your buyout. But you may have to make some concessions at first, but ultimately it's better than staying in the American Athletic Conference through 2031 and just hoping and praying and crossing your fingers for something to happen.
And what have we been yelling about with this conference for over a year now, almost 2 years now? The schedule's terrible. The teams are terrible. It's going downhill. We don't know about the plan for the future. What's going to happen after 2031? Yeah, it's true. Right now you have an ESPN deal with the conference. I get that. But I think the Pac-12 will probably be able to figure something out that will be beneficial to Memphis. And like you said, you may have to eat some money early on, but I think the long-term viability of this is better than staying in a dying conference.
Yes, it's the Group of Five Avengers. If you're putting together, if you're telling me right now that the Pac-12 is trying to put together the best of the rest, then I think that Memphis should be part of the best of the rest. And I would imagine that the Pac-12 leaders believe that as well.
Here's what I will say. I don't think some of the people who have been reporting on this would say Memphis unless they know that Memphis is in the mix. It seems like the biggest chance Memphis realistically has to make a jump to another conference that we have had in a while. Because I just never really bought any of the Big 12 stuff. I didn't think any of that was actually going to happen. This is a real thing that could happen, and I do think it's in the right direction. It is putting you in the right direction of where you want to go, and I think it is better than being in the conference you are now. You need some assurances, and I do understand that it is still a bit of a risk, but
it's a risk worth taking considering what you're in right this second with the American Athletic Conference. And I will say this, If you waited till 2031 and you still remained in the American Athletic Conference, that TV deal is going to be miserable.
Terrible.
ESPN and the American Athletic Conference agreed to this deal when a lot of these schools, notably SMU and Cincinnati and UCF and Houston, were still in the conference. So you're still getting the payout from when they were in conference. Once you get done, Rice and North Texas and UAB, they don't add anything to another deal. And at that point, you would have your hands tied, and I don't think you need to do that to yourself. You need to get alongside peers. And I don't think that Memphis right now, as a program, with the resources provided for basketball and football, I don't think, 75% of this conference, the American Athletic Conference, they're not their peers.
No.
And I'm not trying to talk down to the UABs of the world, but they are inferior when it comes to fundraising, support, and money. And I don't think anybody would argue that.
Memphis has a $25 million NIL deal with FedEx. Does any other school in the conference have something like that? Don't think so.
Yeah, I think UTSA could come close. Tulane probably has something close. But that's why USF. But that's why those schools are being put on the short list to potentially be added by the Pac-12.
Now, what would be real quick? I have two questions for you real quick before you move on. One, if you could just break down the college football playoff stuff with this new Pac-12, because like you said earlier, there has been a lot of confusion about what would be possible with this new Pac-12. So if you could just break down what the pathway to a college football playoff would look like,
same,
with the new
same
conference.
Same as it is now. Don't even think of it
same
any
same as
different.
It is now.
So same exact thing.
I think a lot of people have the assumption that this is going to be a power conference again, when it is not. You are not going to have an automatic bid. You're going to have a better schedule, which will certainly help you get into that college football playoff. And, you know, this new Pac-12 might get one or two, maybe more than one spot than we'd be thinking.
I think the difference is you'd be putting yourself in a position like you were, and I know the college football playoff has changed. We have 12. We're going to go to 14. But
You're
putting yourself in the position like you were when Cincinnati and UCF and Houston and SMU were in the conference, where the AAC, regardless if you have two losses or one loss, whatever it looked like, you were ultimately getting that New Year's Six bowl game invite.
Right.
You were getting that bowl bid. I think ultimately you would be the conference they would take from every year to get into the college football playoff. That's what I think it would look like.
Well, and that's where
you would get the one spot. It's not, you wouldn't get several spots unless something crazy happened, and you know, 1 year Boise State played an unbelievable schedule and went undefeated, and somebody else won the conference. Like, it would be very rare to see anybody from this new Pac-12, if it all works out this way, and you have Tulane and USF and Memphis. You would be in the exact same position you are now for the most part.
Well, and that would be my fear if you stayed in this conference now, is that that one might have a better schedule. It might have more power.
It would.
You go in, let's say that you go undefeated in the conference that you're in right now, but somebody else goes undefeated in the new Pac-12. Guess who's getting in?
Yep.
New Pac-12 is getting in. So
yes,
you're going to need that power. Second question for you. What would be your wish list of teams to go in with Memphis?
Tulane, UTSA, I think UNLV would be a really...
Really good.
I honestly think that UNLV sort of was on the... They wanted to add an even number amount of teams. If they were going to add five or six, UNLV would have made that cut. It's Las Vegas, and they're on the up and up. Barry Odom's done a good job there. But UNLV would be one. I have heard some rumblings out there, and I don't know how this works because the ACC grant of rights with the ironclad, and we know Clemson and Florida State are so locked up in that right now, and they have ongoing litigation. But I did hear this out there, Cal and Stanford jumping back out of the ACC back into the Pac-12. If that were to happen and you got the invite, you do not say no to that. That is immediate on impact. Give me the invite. Let's apply for membership and let's go. So if that were to happen, that would be interesting. I think I would sort of stop it after that at like Air Force. Air Force would be sort of my dividing line, because then you're starting to get into Wyoming, New Mexico, and I don't think that would that does not raise the viability of any conference by any stretch of the imagination. But I hope with the Pac-12, and we'll see in the coming weeks and months, I hope they are done trying to uphold any part of their past with the academic prestige and the geographic footprint. We are past that. The reason that you flailed around and that you almost died the first time is because you wanted to hold on to that so tight. I hope they've learned their lesson, and I hope they understand that there are schools that they can potentially go entice to come that are not part of the geographic footprint, that don't have the academic prestige that they had in the past.
Do you think that Memphis is at the top of the list for them?
I would say so. On Three actually published a list, and I'll go through it for you. On Three, Pete Nakos ended up publishing this. He said 9 schools to watch for further Pac-12 expansion plans. Memphis was at the top of the list. Then from there on, second was Tulane, third UTSA, and then 4th Cal, 5 Stanford. If they're going to get out of the ACC, though, that's going to be a fight. Look at Florida State and Clemson. Look no further than what's going on with them. Then UNLV, Air Force, Wyoming, New Mexico. Those were the 9 schools that he tabbed, that On Three tabbed as. These are the best case scenario for the Pac-12 and future expansion. Memphis at the top. It would be weird, though.
It would be so weird. I was just about to say, it would be like, so like crazy to see like, a Pac-12
welcome to
logo.
Pac-12 After Dark, Oregon State versus Memphis. That would be strange.
My favorite tweet from the weekend of college football, or the first few weeks of college football, is that the Pac-12 logos are still on the fields every once in a while, and somebody just tweeted out a picture and just said, the North remembers. The North remembers.
But I will say, you know, when it comes to basketball... not horrible at all. Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State's been pretty good as of late. San Diego State is always good. Fresno, not that great. But Colorado State, pretty damn good as well. You add Memphis. I think you could really get something
it's
going.
Here's the thing. It's a hell of a lot better than the conference you're in right now.
What you're dealing with right now.
It's night and day. It is night and day. Do you have any concern about the travel?
Of course. But I think if you make more money on your TV deal,
it helps.
You're going to alleviate some of that. Like, it is what it is. You're going to figure it out. It's not like we're not used to. I mean, when I was in college, we traveled out to UCLA. You know, it happened. We took a charter out there. Then guess what? They afforded it. You know what I mean? They can figure it out. I mean, it would be close to every weekend, but, you know, it works both ways.
And I do think it would help the home attendance. Better teams.
Yes.
It might be marginal.
But at the same time, I think Memphis Boise State would be phenomenal. But, like, the two big powers that are trying to keep this thing alive, like Oregon State and Washington State, sure, like you remember them as Power 5, you know, opponents. But no one's clamoring for Memphis versus Oregon State.
It's
or Memphis
a hell of a lot
Washington
better than what
State.
You got, though.
Yeah, sure.
It's a hell of a lot better.
Yes, I get it. I completely understand. But at the same time, I think it would be very marginal, the amount of you know, influence that would have on home attendance. You get what I'm saying? I don't think that would really move the needle as much as we're
I think it matters.
Right now.
It's so much better than like North Texas, Charlotte, UAB, Rice.
Are you talking about the home schedule they have this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, their home schedule of, let's see, North Alabama, Troy, Middle Tennessee, North Texas, Charlotte, oh, Rice, and UAB. Yeah, it would be better than that. But I'm telling you, because of the travel, the lack of the sort of regional games like you have played with like Arkansas State, you just wouldn't have anybody traveling in town to come to these games from other universities. It would just be rare. It's just too far of a hike.
We don't have a lot of Washington State alum here.
No, we don't. Not that I know of. But my ultimate take, and I want to hear yours as well, Connor.
I've already said go.
If you get the right answer from the Pac-12 on what they want to do, if they want to make this the Group of Five Avengers, and then you talk to your peers that could potentially get invites, and they say they would jump at it, then you should jump at it.
I would. The worst case scenario is being the team left out again. I don't want to be the school left out again. And I understand that a lot of people have aspirations.
Isn't this a different type of left out, though? If they're left out of this one, this is kind of a different type of left out.
Well, this one would be, it would feel like they left themselves out for an opportunity to try to go to the Big 12 and the ACC. And I understand that those are the bigger, sexier conferences. You're in the power. Is there any realistic pathway right now to that happening anytime soon?
Sure. ACC, right? Florida State, Clemson leave. They're looking for new people. Maybe come to Memphis to figure it out. But again, you're just, if, like I said earlier, if you wait around, you are at the poker table with 6 other people and you're hoping for the right hand.
That's my point. That makes me nervous.
Right.
Go. If you get an opportunity to go to a better conference right now, I think you should go. I understand there's some hesitations. You need some assurances. On board with all of that. But this is a hell of a lot better than the situation that you are in right now, and it would feel like a missed opportunity for me. And if the Big 12 and the ACC come a calling later, you'll figure it out.
You will figure it out. It would make it. It would. But admittedly, it would make it a lot more complicated.
Sure. But it's always complicated.
Because that grant of rights may be a little bit more, a little heavier on the buyout if you ultimately join and they get that, whatever deal they get done, ESPN or
Fred?
CBS, whatever it is. He's offered in the past to do this. They just denied it. With the Big 12, they denied it.
Fred?
What was that? In like 2015 or 2016, he offered to sponsor the Big 12 championship as long as Memphis got into a conference, and that didn't go through. So, like, he's done this before. He has always, FedEx has always tried to get Memphis to a new spot, but it just has never worked out for whatever reason, But I think this, weirdly enough, has a lot more, there's a lot more of a chance of Memphis getting an invite to this Pac-12 than we have seen in the past from Big 12 and the ACC, whatever it is. Like, this is way closer than they have been in the past. But I wonder when they start sort of kicking the tires on these things and asking around a little bit. When are they going to start spinning the wheels and saying, hey, Memphis, what do you think about it?
Do you think it'll happen sooner rather than later?
I don't know. They got to get it done by 2026.
Is coming.
You would think like
2 years.
They added just four. I would figure like if you're going to add four, you might as well add six to get yourself to at least a legit conference before you start trying to expand a little bit more. They put themselves, it's a strange deal. It really is.
Just knowing the way media works, I don't think Memphis would be at the top of these lists unless there have been rumors.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's been rumors for years about Memphis. Memphis has been at the top
of
these
lists
for everything for a long time.
This is far more realistic, I think, than any Big 12 thing ever was.
I guess. No, this is more real, but it's not the same opportunity.
No, it's not the same opportunity.
It's not Power 4. It's not Power 5. But
I just don't know if you're ever going to get that. Though,
A better opportunity is a better opportunity, whatever it looks like.
I don't want to pass up on we say it all the time, don't let perfect get in the way of good.
Yep, 100%. Now, NFL Week 2 is here, and you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. If you're new to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. You can build a same-game parlay for Thursday Night Football tonight. Bills at Dolphins. You can go for the Dalton Kincaid anytime touchdown. I'm not sure that's going to hit. He was getting blanketed all week last week. It seems like other teams are very focused on Dalton Kincaid. But I would tell you this. Tyreek Hill over receiving yards hits almost every game. And then Josh Allen over passing yards. I feel pretty confident about that one tonight. But just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. You can see terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now we need to go ahead and grab a break. We'll get to hour number two coming up next, and we'll talk to Jeff Calkins about everything we have just talked about. We have the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, and we have to talk about the Pac-12, the potential for Memphis membership to this newfound, back from the dead, Pac-12. Jeff Calkins joins the Gabe Kuhn Show right after this break.